With our current economy, there's no time to lose. Apothecary Herbs has their own version of the stimulus package. It includes sending you highly potent and certified organic herbal products at a 15% discount. Here's how it works. Mail in your order using our catalog order form, online downloadable order form, or if shopping on our website at thepowerherbs.com, print off the contents of your shopping cart, subtract 15%, add your shipping fee, and mail it in with your payment. Get well and save money. What could be better than that? Order by mail now and save 15%. Call Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog toll-free, 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free, 866-229-3663, or international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll free, 866-229-3663, or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Yes, I missed you all desperately, but hey, you know, you have to take off a little time once in a while. Well, we're back in the saddle, and that's what we're going to do on Herb Talk right now, is we're going to empower you. That's what Magical Engineer and I are going to... Engineer Frank, he's here, and we're going to empower you, and thanks for joining us here on American Voice Radio. We're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, some teeny-weeny giants. Yes, we're going to be talking about some tiny things that are really bad. And also, if we get time, we're going to be talking about this connection between milk and cardio health and maybe stomach ulcers. We'll see how much time we have. But don't forget, coming up on the 16th, Dr. Rebecca Carley is going to be with us. Going to chat it up with her and the flu virus and things and see what she thinks about what's coming down the pike. So I hope you can join us for that show. And, you know, this month will be toast before we know it.
It'll be past post-Christmas before you know it. Hey, but for more empowerment, don't forget to sign up for the free online newsletters at thepowerherbs.com. Just go to thepowerherbs.com, or you can type in herbtalklive.com. Gets you to the same place. And then click on books and newsletters, and there's a couple newsletters you can sign up for. And they'll go out each and every week. They'll empower you with information. And you'll also get discounts towards your favorite herbal products at thepowerherbs.com website. Mm. So if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs. And this way you'll get empowering educational information and also discount coupons. Isn't that cool? So do that while you can. And, well, we do have a quack report. Yes, we do. But before we get to all that great stuff, you know, a big salute and semper fi, or praying for all our military. We always do, our righteous men and women in uniform. I pay for America. And you know what? Lately, here it is, folks. This is what I've been praying. More specific. I'm seeking the Lord's face, hitting the knees, mining the time because it grows short. And I'm being more specific because the Bible says to be specific when you ask. So like in Isaiah 59, it says we're to beseech the Lord and impress him for truth and justice, right? Now, if you look at Psalms 82, it says we should ask God to judge the wicked and rescue the righteous. Ooh. So, you know, we want to do that each and every day. And also, you want to God to, confound these mighty wicked men for the purposes of their immediate downfall. Yeah. So strip them of common sense and discernment for that purpose. Now, I also ask, Lord, you know, pour out your contempt upon the princes of wickedness and weaken their strength. Yeah, weaken the strength of the mighty in positions of power that are doing naughty things. Naughty things. Hey, that's Job chapter 12. Also, you know, we are also to say, ask the Lord to save the oppressed by destroying the oppressors, for the measure of their iniquity is full, and the time to favor the poor has come. I also say, you know, impeach your enemies, Lord, and put them to death. Those are the Lord's enemies now. Defeat the armies of the enemy. And only if it's ordered by God, his will be done, of course. And to prepare the hearts of those who love you, Lord, and free the slaves from every tyrant. Every tyrant shall fall, and fall they will, because the Lord is good, right? He shall judge, and he is about justice. So I pray you'll seek the Lord's face and pray for that for all of America, all of the world. You know, ask for mighty men of valor to come up and stand fast, you know, against this wickedness that we're experiencing. Because I know a lot of you know, you can feel it. So do something about it. Prayer is powerful. And mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. What do we got in the quacker tonight? Oh, we got some mutated viruses. Oh, of course we do. Apparently, this season's flu vaccine may not be as effective as they had hoped because they have a more virulent strain afoot. Apparently, there's been this emergence, according to the CDC, there's a mutated flu virus. They've put out a national health advisory urging caregivers to, you know, pump antiviral medicines into folks like the Tamiflu, Luenza, and all that stuff, even if they are not showing any virus symptoms yet. they say the flu activity has been relatively mild in the United States thus far. But of course, you know, the worst month for flu is February, and we'll get to that in a minute, why that is. But so far, the season has been kind of mild. Also, 5 children have died from the flu this year. Now, they did some testing. They said 52%, that's 1 in 100, of flu samples are not the H3N2 virus that's in your flu vaccine. They call it an antigenetically drifted bird flu virus. So despite the flu vaccine, I think we're back. Are we back? Oh, we had a little problem, a little glitch. I apologize for those listening. What happened to her? I don't know. I kind of went somewhere. Forgive us. We are now connected. Okay. All right. So I was talking about the flu vaccine. Apparently, the drifted version of the flu vaccine they detected in March, and then it became more predominant in September, but it was too late to make a vaccine then for that particular strain. So they're saying, rush out, though. Doesn't matter. There's 146 million doses of the current flu vaccine handy. Of course, I pass, but, you know, that's me. All right. Oh, and yes, why is February the big flu month? Does anybody want to take a guess at that? Well, the reason is, one of the reasons anyway, is, well, you've got the sugar coma month of Halloween. And right after that is the sugar coma month of Thanksgiving, because lots of sweets. And then after that is the sugar coma month of Christmas, of course. And after that is New Year's and all this alcohol and party, party, party. And so, you know, you got all these consecutive months of eating things you normally wouldn't, and eating things you normally wouldn't eat too much of. You eat too much of it, and it weakens the immune system, shuts it down, turns it off, makes you more vulnerable. And so by February, yeah, that's when everything hits the fan, pretty much. Hopefully not this year. Maybe you're all taking good care of yourselves. I pray you are. I hope you didn't overdo it at the Thanksgiving feast. And, of course, Christmas around the corner. So, you know, kind of limit all that sugar and alcohol. All right. Last but not least, in the Quack Report, here's something that was real interesting. It was the best and worst run states in the U.S. out of all 50. Which do you think were the best and the worst? Well, this is a survey that they or a report that they put together. Wall Street does this every year. They have to select appropriate criteria to compare the 50 states, and that's kind of difficult because not all the states are the same. You know, they usually have to take in some criteria like policy decisions that may work for one state but wouldn't work for another, because some states are rich in natural resources and others tend to rely on, you know, high skill sectors like technology and business services. Now, some states are disproportionately relying on one industry, while others, their economy is more balanced. So some states are more rural, others are more urbanized and densely populated, so they have to take all this criteria into consideration. And they attempt to answer this question. They want to know which are the best and worst states. And to determine how well states are managed, they examine key financial ratios as well as social and economic outcomes. So this year, North Dakota is the best-run state in the country for the third consecutive year, while Illinois replaced California as the worst-run state. Now, this year, a number of best-run states benefit from the abundance of natural resources. So they're North Dakota, Wyoming, Alaska, and Texas. They're among the top five of the top best-run states. Now, there have been some lingering effects in the housing crisis that have negatively impacted some of the worst-run states. So Arizona, Georgia, Illinois, New Jersey, and Rhode Island are still in a big housing slump, 10% decline between 2009 and 2013 for them. So those are your best and worst places, I guess, that are being run by whoever it is that's running them. So there you go. And that wraps the Quack Report. All righty, we're back here, and we're going to be talking about some tiny giants. You know, there's this family of viruses that have large nucleocytoplasmic DNA structures, which are very diverse. They're very diverse in their genome structure. So these viruses have vast areas of non-coding. So non-coding sequences, and they have like over 1,000 unique genes and fewer than 14 common genes among them. So science does not know how these viruses replicate, and their sequencing far exceeds the core genes. So these viruses may be tiny, but they are giants in the destruction that they can inflict. So scientists are busy using what is called the next generation sequencing, or NGS for short. It's a technology that they use to recreate gene sequences in viruses. They say it is, you know, helpful for them to understand the virus, how it works, how science can disrupt them. However, in order to discover the intricate web of the viruses, there needs to be an abundance of viral RNA to sequence them. Now, to solve this problem, scientists took RNA from the Lucira virus and used what are called the de novo algorithms for the genome sequences. Well, it turns out that manufacturers of viruses need only a minimum template or a conservative amount of RNA to create and analyze samples using this technology. So the scientists have successfully created a full genome sequencing of the Lucira virus, which can be universally applied to other sequences on RNA viruses from nearly any source. However, virologists have voiced their concern over the Lucira virus, which is the Australian Bay Lucira virus, or ABLV for short, because it's deadly. It is more deadly than the Ebola virus, folks. So my question is, are new genetic tools being used to fight or to create disease? Well, let's just check this out. Let's look at the Lucira virus for a minute. The virologists found that this virus is another virus that originates with bats. Bats can harbor over 80 viruses, and many are now transmissible to humans. So what makes the Lucira virus so concerning to virologists? Well, it's because it's similar to the rabies virus. So the Lucira virus was discovered in 1996, and it originated from an Australian fruit bat. And there seems to be 12 varieties of the Lucira virus, so there's some subtypes. Now, the virus can be transmitted by bat bites or scratches. It also can be transmitted by fluids like saliva, blood, and urine from an infected animal or human. So if the virus is transmitted to a surface, it can survive for a short time, a few hours, if it is in a dry environment with sunlight. Now, the onset of the Lucira viral symptoms varies from person to person, but in general, it will manifest within a few weeks. But there have been cases where it may lay dormant for years. Now, rabies is similar, but normally the incubation period is 1 to 2 weeks, and it causes cardiac and respiratory failure. All right, let's look at some of the symptoms. Now, if a human is exposed to the Lucira virus, they will experience the following symptoms. They'll have a headache and then a fever. Then they experience numbness and muscle weakness, which moves on to paralysis, delirium, convulsions, collapse, and then coma. There's a high mortality rate for this virus, which is usually due to paralysis of the respiratory system. Now, currently, the medical area treats this virus with a rabies vaccine. They use a series of 3 injections to either the shoulder or the thigh muscle. Each injection is given in a 7-day interval. According to doctors, a victim with a weak immune system who contracts Lucira virus and gets treated with the rabies vaccine is going to require 5 doses. The 5th dose would be on the 28th day. So be aware that there are untrained medical staff that can improperly administer the rabies injections, especially if you have foreign medical staff working in hospitals and doctor's offices. So if you decide to get a rabies vaccination, it is prudent for you to check with your local poison control physician for the proper treatment. Now, the common mistakes made in administering the rabies vaccine is that the antibodies and the vaccine injections are given together in the same proximity, and they then cancel each other out. See, that's not how they're supposed to be given. So Or another mistake is they inject them into the wrong area of the body, like the buttocks, the gluteal, and it shouldn't be given there. So the rabies vaccine offers no protection once symptoms manifest, okay? So you have to get it post-symptom manifestation, or pre-symptom manifestation. After that, forget it. Now, according to doctors, anyone that works around animals that could be exposed to rabies may need booster shots, rabies booster shots. That would be like vets, you know? Have you ever seen a vet that has had rabies? You know, they were bitten by a rabid animal or something, and then they got the rabies vaccine to prevent death. Well, they have some really interesting little things that manifest. I've met a few of them. They have, usually they have twitches. You know, their eye or their mouth will twitch. You know, symptom of the rabies, you know, virus. All right, let's talk about high risk categories for the Listeria or even rabies. People who work in areas with bats or around bat caves, people who do research on bat viruses and handle bats, you know, they're going to be at high risk. Also, power line workers who routinely see bats, they can be bitten by them. They're at a higher risk. Of course, veterinarians and their staff, as well as park rangers or wildlife officers. So depending on the severity of the bite, if it involves nerve damage, or if the size and the virility of the bite or the virility of the virus is strong, the risk of getting the disease is anywhere from 1 to 80%. Now, countries where people and visitors are at a higher risk of coming in contact with infected animals with either rabies or Listeria virus are Australia, Asia, Africa, North and South America, and some parts of Europe like the Ukraine, Russia, Finland, and Scotland. There are 50,000 reported deaths annually from Listeria virus, with the highest mortality being in children under the age of 15 years. Now, global treatment will cost about $1 billion for this problem each year, and most physicians tend to misdiagnose patients with rabies virus. It's usually during the autopsy when skin, nerve, spinal fluid, tissue, or blood is analyzed and they realize the victim had Listeria virus. Now, you know what? I have to wonder if the rare respiratory virus called the enterovirus D68, you know, that seems to be affecting children in the Midwest United States, has any genome sequencing similar to the Listeria virus. Well, did it take scientists 67 failures before they created this new virus on the 68th attempt? That's my question. So there are so many viruses being discovered, or let's say created, within too short a time span to have naturally evolved. So do you think it is a coincidence that viral warfare emerged with the advancements in technology? I don't think so. If scientists are making new versions of viruses from their template for whatever reason, well, there's really no way you can, you know, 100% contain that stuff. Well, you know, these are bioweapons then. Killing the enemy with viruses or bioweapons could be more cost productive than hiring physicists to create military weapons. So does germ warfare offer an option to population reduction, especially if it can be genetically structured to infect specific targets, you know? Now, the chemical warfare of Agent Orange was a bit messy. However, flu shot, it's much easier to administer with the victim's permission. After all, science considers a virus to be a non-living organism. What harm could come from something that's already dead? Well, a lot, and that's why they tinker with them, and they can smuggle them into genomes to create a silent killer disease, I don't know, cancer, neurological diseases, or much worse. Now, it really is despicable that science and medicine create and sell destruction as a health benefit. You know, kind of compares to Judas betraying Jesus with a kiss. I that's how I look at it. Well, I would treat any vaccine basically as a bioweapon. That's, you know, because it's an artificial infection, it's not natural. Now, the same companies that make your seasonal flu shots also make your biowarfare agents for governments. The U.S. government spent $44 billion on biological agents since 2001. University laboratories, pharmaceutical companies, and military-based laboratories are all handling deadly pathogens. Many of these pathogens are harvested from bats. Now, does the university that your child or grandchild attend have a level 2 or a level 4 bioweapon lab on campus? Billions are poured into these institutions to create weapons from disease while people, well, they donate their time and their money for the walk for the cure. Your money goes to creating death and disease, not a cure, folks. So governments who use fear, well, they use it to usher in their agenda. And you know what? I think in the next few months and even years, you're going to see an avalanche of newly discovered diseases. These will be unlike anything your physician or ER staff have seen or encountered. So if the hospitals and staff are ill-equipped for Ebola, a relatively known pathogen, just think of the chaos the newly created viruses will produce. Now, I truly hope that I am wrong, but I don't think I am. So what viruses need? Let's check this out. I know I'm coming up to a break, and I might have to, you know, run long with this to the second section, but okay, what do viruses need? Well, viruses need a host to survive, and they will need a weak immune system in order to ravage the host. So weak immune systems have an Achilles heel, and that would be the blood. So healthy blood starts with bone marrow, where the tissue is made from tissue, and it comprises the blood. So bones regenerate, and there are some powerful herbs that will help your bones stay healthy to make healthy blood. These herbs contain trace minerals, boron, magnesium, and calcium, and phosphorus, and silica, and they contain them in the right ratio that the body likes. So you're not going to find that in, you know, a glass of milk. Now, there's herbs also that are going to contain these nutrients. Like, I like to use horsetail and oat straw and comfrey root and lobelia herb. These are great for bone tissue health and it essentially helping make healthier blood. Now, the blood's going to transport nutrition and oxygen to the cells, and iron's going to be important for that to be carried out. So the foods that help you accomplish this are going to be lentils, beans, nuts, green leafy vegetables, and some meats that have natural iron in them. Always go with the certified organic foods and herbs. And if you have if you don't have a natural supplement that has iron, well, when we come back from the break, I'll tell you what to look for. We'll be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
The mood for empowerment. I don't know about you. Well, right before the break, we were talking about these little giants, these viruses, and how they're being, you know, I don't know, templated and replicated into all kinds of viral pathogens. And right before the break, we were talking about what a virus needs and how you can strengthen your system as a resistant factor. And one of the things we were talking about is herbs that will help strengthen the blood, give you iron. And if you don't have a natural supplement, I stress that, not a synthetic one, then you might want to look for supplements that have, you know, things like alfalfa and, and barley, grass, and chlorella and spirulina, which will have natural iron components in them. Also, what I like to do is also strengthen the filtering organs that help remove a lot of deadly pathogens quickly. So the liver is going to be important. I like to use milk thistle, very important to help that tissue in the liver regenerate and to fast-track pathogens out of the body. So if you have more iron-rich blood, there's more oxygen, the liver's being able to function better and to remove pathogens faster. And it plays a real important role at eliminating those deadly pathogens and viruses quickly. So don't give viruses the upper hand. You know, don't have that weak immune system that can't manufacture antibodies or have clean, healthy blood. Now, if the blood's too dirty with sugar and waste materials, it's not going to be able to carry enough of the essential nutrients around the body fast enough to help the cells really defend themselves from these viruses. So you want to power up your defenses, and you can do that with herbs. They are going to strengthen your bones, and one of the products that I use for bone strength is called calcium formula. It's a liquid. It has the natural boron, the calcium, magnesium, and silica from the plants, and I also use an organic vitamin, and I use the Body Foundation food mix, and all these products are made by Apothecary Herbs at thepowerherbs.com. So in the body food mix, you'll have that chlorella and those grasses and spirulina with the natural iron. And these strengthen the body, give it stamina, and help your defenses. Now, milk thistle tincture is also available there, along with a lot of immune-boosting herbs. Now, if you're looking for prevention, what I like to use is the astragalus root, and I like to reserve my echinacea's root products for when I'm under the weather, because it really supercharges the immune system. Lastly, if you want to help the blood out to keep it clean, do your periodic organ cleansing a minimum of twice a year and look for their blood cleanse liquid. It's a tincture. So you're going to find a lot of help at protecting yourself at Apothecary Herbs. And they check out their pandemic kit. Have one of those on hand. 10-year shelf life for that. They also have some broad-spectrum immune boosters like All-in-One and My3Amigos. Then they have the more targeted immune-boosting formulas like the Pneumonia Kit or the Echinacea Deluxe for upper respiratory infections. So you've got a lot of tools there and lots of information and a backup help to help you figure out how to use them properly. You give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. The web address is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. And don't forget to register on their website when you shop, because when you register, you'll get reward points that saves you on your purchases. It's like a mini surprise, you know, gift each time you shop. It's nice. Now, they do offer now, this month, they just started offering gift certificates. So you can give the gift of health this year and beyond to friends and family. And, of course, you want to order early. Holiday hours are, you know, if you're waiting to the last minute, if you get your order in by 12 noon on the 24th of December, it should ship out if all the items are in stock. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait. And that's not good. That's not good. Alrighty, so we've got some information we're going to cover here. Let's see, we're going to be talking about milk and your heart. I ran across some folks during Thanksgiving, and we got on that topic, you know, of, you know, is milk healthy for you? Let's check this out. A lot of gimmicks, marketing gimmicks, go into pushing a lot of milk. You see all the celebrities in the ads with the milk mustaches, and these are very successful ad campaigns that are designed to get you to buy more dairy products and to make sure dairy is a part of your everyday lifestyle. So a lot of people grow up thinking milk's fine. I did. I didn't think anything of it. You know, I was one of those kids that, you know, dunked my cookie into a glass of milk, right? So we have to realize that sometimes, even though they're very familiar items, we've used them, our family used them, they may not be what our body needs. Because think about this. How much milk does the average American have at their disposal and consume, and yet 20 million still have osteoporosis or osteoarthritis. Why is that? I mean, you know, should we have bone disease when we're drinking all this milk? Well, let's check this out. Now, milk can be a very political thing. There's the National Dairy Council. It's a nonprofit. It's funded by dairy farmers, and they get what is called these checkoff dollars. So the American Dairy Association was created to assist dairy farmers, and it was funded by dairy farmers for their checkoff dollars, which is, you know, linked to government. There is a local chapter of the National Dairy Council in each state, and the dairy industry is controlled by unions. And now the checkoff dollars refers to union dues mandated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So the beef and soy industry have also a similar structure. So the function of the nonprofits is really to drive consumer spending on dairy products, even if it means suppressing scientific research that exposes that food source to be hazardous to your health. Well, let's talk about the dairy industry. There are some reports that come forth regarding, you know, some of the health problems that dairy products cause. And one story came from the UK by a scientist called Jane Plant. She published her discovery while she was undergoing chemo treatment for breast cancer. That's crazy. But anyway, long and short of it, Professor Plant is a geochemist and chief scientist at the British Geological Survey. And she wrote this book titled Your Life in Your Hands. She founded the BCUP, which is a foundation to promote the truth about negative contributions of dairy products that she feels contributes to breast cancer. Now, for her work, Professor Plant was awarded the British Highest Science Award, which is called the Lord Killigan Prize. Now, in a nutshell, Professor Plant and her husband noticed that in the West, 1 in 10 women get breast cancer. In Ireland, it's 1 in 14 get breast cancer, while in China, 1 in 10,000 women get breast cancer, and they wanted to know why. Well, they discovered women in China avoid milk products like the plague, and you won't see them eat yogurt, cheese, ice cream, milkshakes, pudding, any drink with milk in it of any kind. Now, after 6 rounds of chemotherapy, Professor Plant removed all the milk from her diet, and she scrutinized every label for hidden milk, and guess what? Her tumors disappeared completely. And you could read more about her story at thealkalizedforhealth.net, and I've got milk. So there are some more studies. Scientists have known for some time the link between milk and breast cancer, prostate cancer, just plain cancer. Epidemiological and cultural studies have proven that there's a correlation between the consumption of dairy products, especially whole milk and cheese products, and the number of cancer cases. Now, in 1977, scientists compared the incidence of breast cancer in Japan and found a significant increase in both the consumption of dairy products and the occurrence of breast cancer in urban areas. So, there's a lot of evidence out there. If you dig for it, you can find it. Now, basically, if you think about it, milk, cow's milk, is the universal allergen. It's been identified as the most common allergy-causing food. So the number two most common allergen in food is wheat. So bottom line is, if you want to eliminate your food allergies and say goodbye to a lot of infections like upper respiratory infections, sinusitis, pneumonia, throat infections, ear infections, digestive problems, asthma, and I guess now cancer, then, you know, just switch off of the animal-based milk. Maybe go with coconut milk or almond milk or something. And by the way, if you're a big cheese person, you know, it's amazing how people say, well, I don't drink milk, but then they eat lots of cheese. Cheese is 10 times the concentration of milk. You're still getting milk, lots of it. Very mucusy producing food, okay? There's some people that just can't break their cheese habit, you know? They're addicted to cheese. And this time of year, everything's cheese. There's cheese everywhere. Well, let's talk about osteoporosis. There is kind of a misconception that if you don't have milk in your diet, your lifestyle, you're going to have brittle bones. Even the World Health Organization knows that there's these scientific studies that show that when you consume milk as a calcium source, your body will absorb maybe 18%, and there's no guarantee that it'll end up in your bones. So bone health is also tied to your minerals and your hormones. So you have to ask yourself, how does a cow develop strong bones and have all this muscle when it doesn't consume milk past weaning? Well, the secret is cows eat greens, grass. Let's talk about healthy cows for a minute. We have 9 million cows in the United States which are not classified as healthy, and this is why. Nearly half of the bovine cows have leukemia virus. They have Crohn's disease bacterium, believed to be caused by IBS in humans. That's what causes it in humans, is the Crohn's disease. Now, they also have the artificial growth hormones that promote, in humans, they think other diseases, and could predispose even the prion disease. Now, you want to also check out Dr. Robert Cohen's book, It's Milk, the Deadly Poison. It seems to say that hormones they inject into the cows affect how humans metabolize the milk product. So one glass of milk can flood your blood system with an excess of estrogen, increasing the risk of breast cancer. Now, then people say, well, what about raw milk? Isn't that better? Well, before the Industrial Revolution, people consumed raw milk. Farming methods changed, and the milk went from a farming method to a factory method. People moved away from the farms, the agricultural lifestyle. Nobody owned livestock, which they could, you know, just run out the back door, milk their cow, and have some milk. So it depends on, really, I guess, who you're asking when it comes to that raw milk as a healthy option. So raw milk does contain proteins. It does contain good bacteria and enzymes and hormones made by the phosphoprotein from the cow. Now, the pasteurization purposely removes that physoprotein, and you may ask, well, why? Well, it's the physoprotein is a solid. It's a filler, and they use it for fillers in other foods. So they take it out of the cow's milk, and they can make more money selling it as a filler. They sell it to ice cream manufacturers. They sell it to companies that make adhesives and plastics and fabrics. So the dairy industry includes not only your milk, but they tend to make more money extracting healthy things from milk and selling it to other industries. So the pasteurization of milk reduces the amount of the vitamins you have, like B6 and especially vitamin C, and then they sell all that nutrition to somebody else. Well, let me read you this quote by Sally Fallon. She's the founder of the Weston Price Foundation. She says, pasteurization destroys enzymes, diminishes the vitamin content, denatures the fragile milk proteins, destroys the vitamin B12, kills beneficial bacteria, promotes pathogens, and is associated with allergies, increased tooth decay, colic in infants, growth problems in children, osteoporosis, arthritis, heart disease, and cancer. End of quote. Well, here's a discovery. In the 1800s, scientists discovered trace mineral called boron. Studies proved that boron was essential for plants to be healthy. Nearly 100 years later, it was discovered that boron plays a vital role in the metabolic mechanism for healthy human bones. So what happens if you don't have adequate amounts of boron in your system? Well, you're going to experience an exodus of both your calcium and magnesium through the urine. As you lose boron, a rapid stage of demineralization takes place, which causes severe osteoporosis. So women who are premenopausal are at a higher risk of osteoporosis if they begin to lose boron. And scientists and physicians have known this for years, and that animal milk doesn't provide that required mineral of boron and magnesium that the calcium needs as an uptake binder, so that it gets properly metabolized and absorbed. So the cardiovascular system also needs these minerals, and consuming your cow's milk leads to the development of heart disease, basically. And it's everywhere. The milk is everywhere. So I'm sure you've heard about some of the experts, you know, some of these PhDs, you know, they say, well, if your system's too acidic, you can invite serious health risks such as cancer. The facts are that disease can exist in either an acid or an alkaline environment. So you just don't want to swing too far in either direction, given disease a real foothold, okay? So citrus foods actually tend to have an alkaline effect in the body, so you can help establish a good pH. Now, you can go get some pH saliva test strips at any of your scientific school stores. That's where your science teachers get that stuff. And you can have that and just make sure your pH is around a 7, 7.5. So if you're looking for, as we pointed out in the first part of the show, keeping those bones healthy so you can manufacture some healthy blood so you can defend yourself from these viruses, you want to make sure you get some plant-based calcium, which when you look at your plants, green leafy vegetables, oranges, and your herbs that have calcium, they're also going to have the minerals of boron, magnesium, silica. They're going to have this, and it's in the right ratio. The body's able to absorb and metabolize and put that calcium where it needs to be, in your bones or your connective tissue or your skin or your muscles, wherever the body's needing it. And you don't get it displaced, and you don't get bone spurs and really strong arterial blockages. So if you're looking for a nice calcium liquid, plant-based, ask the folks at Apothecary Herbs about their calcium tincture, and very affordable. And it's pretty powerful. People are really been changing their lives with such little bottles with big results, basically. So you can check that out. Now, if you need some help with your endocrine system balancing hormones, then you might want to check out some of the female formulas there. And, of course, guys, we do have a hormone formula for you. And if you have any questions regarding any of those products, give them a call at Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. That's toll-free at 866-229-3663, or visit their website at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Alrighty, we have a few minutes, and just a few minutes, and we're going to be talking about a little bit on this topic of stomach ulcers. This time of year, you know, people, they have these digestive issues crop up right at the holiday time, and very, very, very discomforting, of course. And, you know, if you're visiting family and friends, you don't want it to ruin your visit. They got 5 million Americans that have stomach problems, including ulcers. So every minute, 7 people get diagnosed with peptic ulcers, some sort of digestive disease. It's big business for the drug companies and for the gastroenterologists. They suggest that there's maybe 20 million Americans that have at least one stomach ulcer during their lifetime. So if you're having peptic ulcers, they are a problem. Now, there are some life-threatening ulcers, and we want to be using, you know, common sense here. But if 12 people a day are dying from their ulcers, that's 12 too many. Well, let's look at some of the symptoms. Of course, you know, you're probably familiar with some of them. Burning, aching, a gnawing pain located in the upper abdomen or below the breastbone. Symptoms tend to get more severe when they're on an empty stomach or in between meals or even during the middle of the night. These are annoying symptoms that can last for weeks at a time with brief relief in between the bouts. So other symptoms can be nausea, vomiting, belching, bloating, loss of appetite, weight loss or weight gain, bleeding, like black stool, if you see black stool, fatigue, weakness, and eating disorders like anorexia. Well, let's talk about what can cause these ulcers. Well, our lifestyle can disrupt the delicate balance of our digestive system. We may be eating or drinking too much, or maybe stress levels can be affecting the way we digest our food, and it's affecting the mucosal lining of our digestive tract, or it's disrupting the juices that digest our food, and it's irritating. So the stomach will secrete more acid and more digestive enzymes than the stomach and small intestine can tolerate. sometimes if we're under stress or eating inappropriately. So over time, these juices can literally digest the lining of your stomach. So bacteria can get in there and infect the lining, and it can be also contaminating the food that we eat. So they usually give folks drugs like anti-inflammatory meds, aspirin, corticosteroids. This is just to, you know, diminish some of the symptoms, but it doesn't do anything to correct the cause. Also, if you're a smoker, this will contribute to the formation of ulcers. Alcohol abuse also is a present risk of developing ulcers, so you want to avoid overdoing any of that. Also, the development of ulcers, they can be associated with other conditions like emphysema, rheumatoid arthritis, and even liver disease. All right. So there's lots of medical treatments out there, the Prevacid, the Nexium, the Prilosec, all these drugs, and they can have lots of side effects like diarrhea, joint pain, kidney damage, vomiting, loss of appetite, itching, mouth ulcers even, constipation. I mean, the list, I don't have time to list it all. There's Zantac and Tagamet and Mylanta, which can make you feel dizzy and fatigued, give you a headache, and worst off, if you're a male, can cause breast enlargement. So acid blocker medications like your Xanax and Pepcid, they can give you symptoms that they may neutralize some of the acid, but they can give you side effects like impotence, okay? So you want to do your double checking on any of these drugs to see what secondary diseases they will produce. Now, I'm running out of time, so I got to cut to the chase. And Miss Wendy, what would you do if you had a problem? Well, watch the lifestyle. I don't do the dairy. Oh no, I don't care how acidy you feel. If you got acid going on, it means the body feels you're too alkaline anyway. So don't throw more alkaline food in there. Fight fire with fire, just like the firefighters do. Throw some acid foods in there, you know, like pickles and pickled beets and kimchi, sauerkraut. Those are more fermented acidic foods, and they'll calm down those acid pumps, okay? I tend to use some really great herbs for digestion. Check out the gentian root, which is on thepowerherbs.com. Totally awesome. It really is great. It helps improve digestion, and you won't overeat. Awesome stuff. If you got a stomach ache or stomach pain, it's gone in like 5 minutes. So check that out. Also for gas and bloating, fennel seed. And, of course, peppermint is good. And also ginger root's good for nausea and those things associated with digestive discomfort. So you've got a digestive kit on there. If you got the diarrhea, add the slippery elm. Check it out. It's under the digestive section on the powerherbs.com website. You have tools. They're natural. They won't give you the side effects. They won't make you impotent. They won't make guys grow breasts. That's crazy. Anyway, more natural things. Herbs. God's herbs are good, and I believe that. Well, I'm out of time. Don't forget to check out the newsletters. Sign up for those at thepowerherbs.com. Get empowered every week with new information. And I will see you next time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you to be well. Oh, baby.